Kevin Tyler, Clark County Public Works.
Kevin McDowell, Clark County Prosecutor's Office.
Danielle Cowley, Public Works.
Terry Gardner.
Tyler Yackalt.
Dave Rowe, RRBAB.
Hanson Railroad Advisory Board.
Mark Daniels, Railroad Advisory Board.
John Schaefer, Advisory Board.
Steve Jagielski, property owner.
Marvin Matheson, property owner at Holman.
I don't think some of those microphones are working, gentlemen.
Just yell.
Randy Williams, BYCX.
Nathaniel Boyd, also BYCX.
Charles Hancock, neighbor.
Okay.
And online, we have Maggie Dirk with the City of Vancouver, Glenn Young, County Council, Greg Smith with the Railroad Advisory Board. Jim Malinowski is also with us virtually. And Mrs. Kim O'Hara and Nancy Halverson as well.
Okay, everybody read the minutes. You got any comments? I have one. Go ahead. Okay. On new business, where it says lobbying for railroad funding, at the very end, it says members can lobby as individuals, but not as a representative of the board. And I think that means if you go up there on your own, don't say I'm the board and this is the way it ought to be. But when we send a delegation up there, we go as the railroad board and we adopt, what we're going to talk about, but just authorize the board to act on behalf of the board. So I'd like to have that members can only lobby. I'd like to have that struck from the minutes. Change it.
I think we can clarify it. Yeah, because I think Dan did mention it last meeting, but I think we do need to clarify it for the minutes and just for the record. Yeah. I think because it came up about Dave Rowe was asking to go up and speak on the matter at the right. Legislature. So,
and yeah, I went up there, but I didn't mention that it was member of this board. I did it on my own.
And I think that Dave just came up and asked about supporting resolutions that are up in Olympia right now. And before the board can do that, I think we need to get a copy of the proposed law and, give everybody a chance to do it. So I'd say next meeting would be the first time we can get at it.
Well, it's being discussed in committee today. I wanted to be on it, but it starts at 4 o'clock in the Transportation Committee. So I have a paper copy right now. If I can pass it around and maybe it's going to be moving fast.
It's still in committee?
It's in committee.
Which committee?
Transportation Committee.
Okay.
It's the legislator recognizes that inner city passenger rail is an integral part of the state transportation system and is critical to the state's ability to meet the climate, public, and equity of mobility goals of the state as it continues to experience growth. The legislature finds that inter-city passenger rail is a highly efficient mode of transportation that connects small towns and major urban centers, and that the improvement of inter-city passenger rail service through improvements through trip time, frequency, and reliability to enhance local economies and increase mobility options for Washington residents. Therefore, the legislature intends to reemphasize the need to prioritize an improvement of inter-city passenger rail in the state by establishing updated targets for the department to use as it develops future plans for Amtrak Cascade Route that requires clear communication about the factors influence that is achievable so that properly evaluation and where possible is addressed. The following targets is going to be met by, will be met by 2035 and established for Amtrak Cascade service. 2 hour and 30 minute trip times between Seattle and Portland with a minimum of 14 round trip per day. And then 2 hours and 45 minutes between Seattle and Vancouver. So the department is required to prioritize a target set in the subsection of this as it conducts project development, including for federal corridor identification and development program for the work to be done in the future as part of the federal and interstate passenger rail grant program. Project development work carried out by the department must include infrastructure investments, extensive coordination with host railroads and other service partners as necessary. So this is what it's doing, is improving the corridor between Portland and Seattle and Vancouver, BC. And that's going to include Chulachi Prairie. Rye Junction is, this is not part of it, but Rye Junction will be included to improve that crossing. This connection for Chulachi Prairie Railroad to the Burlington Northern corridor hasn't been improved for very long. It needs to be addressed, and that's where this bill will improve any crossings in this corridor, and that's where it includes us.
So is this bill primarily about the high-speed rail project?
Negative. This is not ultra high-speed rail. This is higher performance rail. So it's adding some siding. One example was one of the stations that are in the line, I can't remember, it might have been Lacey, but I'm not sure. But the main freight line and passenger line goes on one side of the station. So at that point is a bottleneck for freight and passengers. So just for a little bit of money, they can make one of a passing lane around, instead of on the west side only, have it on the east side. So the Cascades could be loading passengers and freight could shoot on through past that station. So that's one of the things they're talking about. I've got a whole list of the things that it's going to accomplish. So it's going to improve Chulachi Prairie Railroad.
Yes. Yeah, I will. And just so you know, I've got it on the screen right now and sharing it with the team that's on virtually. Senate Bill 5667 is the number. The corresponding House bill is 1837. And I'll share those with you guys. David sent them to me this morning. So, or was it? Yeah, I think that mic is not working. Sorry about that.
I got it something, an email or a notice of some sort urging that people that support rail indicate their support for this bill. And I did, it was a deadline of 3 o'clock, and I did go ahead and do that, even though I had not read the bill. But the guy that sent it to me, I trust.
Okay, so we're going to get the bill. If you need to move quicker, I'd get a hold of Dan. I think he'll be better. And Dan can decide if he can write a letter. And then he can share that letter with us, and we can all approve it without having a meeting, and he can send it up to the legislators.
I put kind of a resolution in front of you, that just a short section that we would like to support it, and all the legislatures in our area needs to know that RRAB backs this. It's going to move quickly. This came out Thursday when I was there. I didn't even know it was there until I arrived on Thursday. Now they're having hearings about it today. So it's if we wait a month, it may be dead.
If Dan can get a letter out, he could do it next week. But first of all, the board, I don't think we're in the position to have a resolution to support something that you're the only one that's read.
But what are the deadlines? I mean, if a month from now, it might not mean anything.
Well, a month from now would be if the whole board. But I'm saying if Dan could write a letter, get us to approve it online.
What I'd like to suggest is that we authorize you and Dan to read the letter. If you agree that it's something we should support, that you go ahead and indicate that support.
Okay.
That's a motion.
First of all, we have a motion to accept the minutes. We got a little off track here. Okay, yours isn't working either.
Try this one.
I make a motion, we accept the minutes.
Second, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes as written, except for that one change about lobbying. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? You opposed?
No.
I said any opposed, and you're ready.
No.
I know.
Okay, well, I'll move that we authorize Dan and John to review the bill, and if they agree that that's something that that this group should support, that they're authorized to go ahead and submit or support.
I'll second it.
I have no problem with that, as long as I get to read it. Any comments, questions? Okay, need a comment?
Well, I just know this is a very fast-moving legislation that's happening. So I hope we can back it and tell our local legislators that we want to approve it, because it's really going to help Chalachia Prairie Railroad. I was up there and talking to some of the people, and they called it Chalachia Meadow Railroad instead of Chalachia Prairie. They don't even know we exist down here.
We had to walk a little fine line, because I haven't been up there this year. I was up there last year, and as an individual, and we weren't going to get any money from those guys. They had had enough neighbors complaining and enough stories about the Chalachia Prairie Railroad that money wasn't going to happen. As a matter of fact, the bill that looked like it was on a fast track, where Eric would get, somebody donated rail, they could get a sales tax credit for the value of the rail, even though it's surplus rail that they're getting. They probably get it for free just for the tax credit. At least that's what Eric said once. So, we got to make sure we got a little fine line to straddle here. So, all right, we have a motion and we have a second to allow Dan and I to review the bill, and if we decide it's worthy of support, to get up, either get to Olympia or contact Olympia and indicate our support. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All righty. No comments from the chair. Nobody here from from Portland Vancouver Junction Railroad. BYCX, you're up.
Thank you, John. Not much going on right now because we stopped running at Christmas time. We'll start again on Mother's Day weekend. Do a lot of shop work on the equipment. We've started putting the steam engine back together. Hopefully it'll be out this summer. You know, I'd like to see if Father's Day, but we'll see what happens. Been working a lot with the railworks team on the bridges. They're done in our area. Haven't gone out and inspected it, but their work seems to be pretty good where I have seen it. That's about all that's going on right now. We're doing just some background maintenance work. Weather's kind of crummy. So once we get warms up a little bit and the sky decides what it wants to do, we'll get out there and get going on stuff. I did have a railworks person from the local railworks out on the tracks today doing inspection, called, asked for permission to get on the tracks. That's the only one I've had call me. So I don't know if any of your other bidders are out there. And I know that PBJR put out a RFP for vegetation clearing from 18.7 to 20.45, which is basically Heisen Store up to Bridge 20, clearing all the vegetation on that track or that area out there. The railworks guy was outbidding on that. Plus, he was out there to bid on the track rehab project for you. So, but that's the only guy I've had call me on that one. Anybody have any questions? If not, thank you.
I got one.
Oh.
So is this year going to be the beginning of the 15-year
steam engine? Yeah, the on the 1472 inspection, which is 15 years, it's the clock starts when you put your tubes in the boiler. Paint, they don't care about. Fixing leaks, they don't care about. It's when you start the boiler tubes going in. We have all the boiler tubes. We've got all the stable work done. So now it's put it back together. And so this will start. This will be 2025 will be the first year of the 15 year.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
County.
Yeah, thank you. So just as Randy mentioned, the county contract for bridge repairs is wrapping up. The contractors working on the last bits and pieces of Bridge 12, a little bit on Bridge 6 and a little bit on Bridge 18. And I think their goal was to be out of here this week, be all done this week. So it'll be nice to have that work done. And then the railroad roadbed rehab bid advertisement is out. And I believe the bid opening is this week on Wednesday. So we'll see what that looks like and how much money remains after we settle all of the bridge repairs, invoicing and any change orders from that contract. We'll have a good idea of how much money's left for all the roadbed rehab up north near Yakult. So those are all both progressing nicely. And then the only other update I wanted to provide today was that there was a notice from the EPA about a settlement on some of the enforcement actions. And so I know this board has been very interested in that. So we added some information to the FAQs on our website, and I'll show that to you now. So there were two notices issued by the EPA, one regarding the Vancouver site, which is Barberton, and one regarding the Chulachi site. And then, you know, I believe they're taking public comment on those. So if you're interested, you can go to this website, click on the link, and I can share this website with you guys after the meeting. But so, yeah, it looks like things are progressing with settlement.
They had an article in the paper that they fined them. Is that part of the settlement, or?
It looks like there is some fines associated with the settlement, and I don't have any details beyond what's been shared on the Clean Water or the EPA's website. So
they have to restore.
That's not, yeah, that information has not been made public yet. So, Jim?
The article I read, I remember thinking, saying there was a $16,000 fine. Seems like a fairly small fine. They must not think that what he did was that bad.
$65,000 fine.
$65,000, okay.
And then there was a $6,000 fine for Mike Loboke.
Yeah, there was two separate letters. One was directed towards PBJR at Vancouver, and one was directed toward Greenworks, which is Mike Loboke up at the Chulachi site. I don't know if there's more coming beyond that, but this is what the EPA has issued publicly at this point.
Apparently he's accepted that.
I don't know. It looks like it's proposed. So apparently it's an open negotiation.
My understanding was it's a proposed agreement with the railroad.
And it sounded that way, but this is Eric. So, and he can take it, negotiate as far as he wants, and he doesn't like the end product, he can appeal that. And I don't know the mechanism for appealing an EPA.
I don't either. But just that there's movement.
I'm going to say, essentially, you can just get an attorney and feel like everybody else does, just push it out. Yeah. The longer you push it, the lower that number is going to be.
I have a question about the county. The county has, said that Eric's in violation. I don't even know if they even started mediation or any of that. But if he resolves this with the EPA, does that also resolve the problem with the county?
So we continue to talk with PVJR pretty regularly, working towards resolving that dispute. We have not gone any further in the dispute resolution process other than that informal negotiation. So this doesn't solve all the issues. It does take steps in the right direction, though.
And does the DOE have the ability to also fine, or are they lumped in with the EPA? Yeah. The EPA, the umbrella over this whole thing?
I don't know the answer to that question. I'd have to check in with ecology on that.
I think, though, the county needs to be consistent. They're not enforcing the riparian zone ordinance now, and there's lots of violations taking place all over the county. And for them to take a hard line with Eric would be inconsistent with that.
That's the county. That's not the EPA.
Yeah, I understand. But the county is not in a position to take a hard line if they won't enforce their own ordinances.
Well, it's a law. that's the problem with it. Like everybody says that, county enforcement is based on who complains. And to a point, that's correct, because if somebody points out to the county that somebody's violating the law, then they should do something about it.
And I have several times.
I know, and that's, I don't understand that. Anything else?
Nothing further for me tonight.
One of the reasons why I asked that about how the county is going to look at a settlement with the EPA and Eric is that if the county says, well, if EPA is good, we're good, then we need to be talking about the railroad presentation, because we're going to get to a point where maybe, all of a sudden Erickson is a good boy again, and we can start promoting, the railroad that he operates. Right now, we can't do that. So hopefully by next meeting, we can kind of have an idea on that. Because we can get these guys going on the presentation.
I think all we'll be able to provide is what the current says, the subject of the negotiations, what is discussed, is not something that can be divulged publicly. So I think that Kevin will be able to provide a status update, as it just has, at the next meeting. But in terms of what's being proposed back and forth, that can't be.
No, I understand that. Now, it's actually more on a legal basis. If Eric is good with the EPA, is he good with the county? Or
well, that's not something that we can decide.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's my question, though.
Yeah, I'll continue to provide updates as I can at these meetings.
Okay, Kevin, you're the one that added meeting frequency. The question's come up is, do we really need to meet every single month? And, this takes staff time and it takes time away from, maybe other things. And we really haven't done a whole lot this last year or so, last 2 years. And then we did a little bit that previous year, and then there's another lawsuit before that, and we weren't able to do anything because the county and Eric were fighting again. I'm kind of mixed. I mean, we've met every month for years and years and years, but we haven't done a lot lately. And I love you guys, and I love coming to these meetings. If we wanted to do it every other month, at least on a temporary basis, maybe that's something we ought to do. And that's probably something that Dan ought to think about. Dan, if you're listening, I'm not making decisions for you. Yes, sir.
Well, in my opinion, this year is going to have quite a few changes. A lot of things are going to be happening, so we need to keep on top of it, because legislation up in Olympia is going to be moving pretty fast toward railroad improvements. That's my opinion. So one a month to me.
Is this year the long session or short session? I think it's long session. Yeah, it's a budget. It's a budget session. So it goes to what, April? The middle of April, I think. So. Oh, I know. I realize that.
My vote is to continue our monthly meetings.
Okay. Anybody think we should meet every other month? No, everybody's shaking their head no. I guess we'll meet next month.
And if I could, I put this on the agenda, or I asked that Dan, that we add it to the agenda, because as you mentioned, the number of agenda items that we've tackled as a group have not been a large amount in the last 2 to 3 years that I've been involved. And I enjoy meeting with you. I've grown very fond of my time with you. And there's just a lot of demands on my time and on Danielle's time. And so if there's a period of time where we could take a step back, meet every other month, and things start to pick up again, and we want to adjust that frequency to be monthly again, then, I think you have that flexibility to go, back and forth in that way. So I just wanted to throw it out there. I think, like I said, there's a lot of demands on our time. And so having one less meeting a month would be helpful.
Would it work? So maybe in the summertime later, because in the legislation or in something could be coming up that we keep meeting for the next couple, 2-3 months, and then look at the summer and fall and do that, because legislature meets in the spring, this time of year. Yeah.
We usually skip August, and then we skip, August.
Does that make more sense? That's August.
Sure. If we're not covered under the Open Meetings Act, is there anything that we're doing everything that you have to do for a group that's covered by the Open Meeting Act? Is there any administrative stuff that you really don't have to do?
I think we need to continue to have an agenda and get that out to the community on the website in advance of the meeting, and then have minutes that, you know, demonstrate what decisions were made at these meetings and action items taken. So from that point of view, I don't think there's any less administrative burden on a meeting by meeting basis that we can cut away.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Before we go on to public testimony, I'd like to make a request. I understand the county is working on a climate change policy, and I'd like to have us briefed on what the county's planning to do and look for ways that we can have input to that as far as the benefits of rail to climate change, because of the energy efficiency of rail is so much better than other forms of transportation. The county really should, rail should be part of that strategy the county's using to reduce fossil fuel use.
Okay.
So is it possible that the county could brief us on what's happening?
Yeah. Jim, I think that you asked that a similar question or similar request at one of our last meetings, and I don't remember if it was January or December, but I recall reaching out to community planning and the staff person that's leading up the climate change discussions and asking that they could come and present. And I believe that we talked about doing it later in the spring, like maybe April, but let me go back and check my email correspondence with community planning and we'll get something scheduled.
I'm on that committee. I've been since the very creation of it. And we do have a policy statement that has rail in it. And so it's not forgotten, but it's not one of the, they want to retrofit houses and make electric cars, but rail is low down on the totem pole, but I've kept it in the policy that rail is mentioned in that.
I you know, everybody talks about climate change. I don't have a problem with that, but they're not talking about if we go to electric cars, what that does to our water. Forever plastics in our water. The tires wear out faster on electric cars, and that goes right into the water, and that's forever in the water. So, I mean, people need to focus on just not air, but they're always worried in, you know, we got to be with the water situation on the, up there. We're polluting our water by putting heavier vehicles unless we get to some public transportation. I think you'll agree with that 100%.
Yes, rail is less polluting to streams than rubber tires. Rubber tire particles kill fish. That's noted in the policy that we've talked about.
All right, moving ahead. Public testimony. Not today.
Anybody online, if you want to raise your hand or come off mute and let us know that you'd like to speak. I'm not seeing anybody. Yeah.
For the good of the order. I'm not really sure what for the good of the order means. It's on here. So anybody have anything for the good of the order? Nope. All right. Do I have a move to adjourn? Yeah. All right. Second.
I second.
All right. All those that approve say aye. Right. You don't approve, you can stay here tonight.
Hey, Greg, go ahead and speak if you. Yeah, Greg, if you're trying to speak, we're not getting you. Sorry.
Nope. Signing off, Kevin. Thanks for the meeting.
Oh, okay. Yep. Have a good one. Yep. Bye-bye.